Let's pray for God's blessing and for the illuminating work of the Spirit, also as the gospel sounds forth among us. Gracious Father, your word is perfect, reviving the soul. Your testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Your gospel is a power unto salvation for everyone who believes. Open our ears that we may listen to your word. Fill our hearts with your Spirit that we may believe it, that we may respond to it with faithfulness and obedience. Father, we pray for a blessing on our worship this afternoon. Help us to praise and glorify your name in all that we do. Bless the preaching of your word. Grant that your Spirit may illumine our hearts and that we may hear and understand your word and apply it to our lives. Accept our praises, hear our prayers, receive our gifts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our confessional reading this afternoon is in connection with the next phrase of the Nicene Creed, I believe, in the Holy Spirit. We're going to read together from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 20. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with a Father and a Son is eternal God. Second, that he is given also to me, so that through true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. Our catechism's teaching is based on the Holy Word of God. In connection with this afternoon's sermon, I want to read with you two passages. First, 1 Kings 8, the verses 1 through 11, and then from John 15, verse 26 to 16, verse 15. One Kings 8 tells us about the situation when Solomon completed the building of the temple of the Lord, of how the Lord came to dwell among his people. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the Ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses had put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. We turn to John 15, we begin our reading at verse 26. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Thus far, our reading from God's holy word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, part of the Nicene Creed is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, what do we mean when we say this? What comfort do we derive from this confession? When we speak about the work of the Father, we know that he loves us and cares for us, that he provides all our needs. When we speak about the work of the Son, we know that Jesus washes us in his blood and so grants complete forgiveness for all our sins. But what about the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to you to confess that you believe in his name? We all realize that when we are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The baptism form says that the Holy Spirit will dwell in us and make us living members of Christ. It says that he will impart to us all that we have in Christ. What does that mean? How does the Holy Spirit allow us to share in all Christ's benefits? We need to realize that the Spirit works in wondrous ways, which are often beyond our comprehension. His work of regeneration, of causing us to be born again, is what the Canons of Dort says, a supernatural, most powerful, and at the same time most delightful, marvelous, mysterious, and inexpressible work. While we cannot understand everything, the Scriptures do teach us some things about the Spirit's work. He enlightens our minds so that we can understand the gospel. He creates within us a new heart. He transforms our spirit. He makes that which was dead alive, which was bad good, which was unwilling willing, which was stubborn obedient. Perhaps it's helpful to use an example to explain what this means. We know that a horse is directed by a rider holding the reins, that a ship is directed by a pilot who controls the rudder. The point is that the Holy Spirit takes the reins of your life in his hands. It is a Spirit who wants to guide and direct the ship of our life through the mighty waves of the sea of life, making sure that we don't get shipwrecked. That's why he's been given to us and why he promised to remain with us forever. What tremendous encouragement this gives us. Do you think it's by your own strength that you can remain standing through all the trials of life? You think it's by your own power that you can withstand the temptations of the devil, this world, and your own sinful flesh? How is it possible for you to be connected to Christ and remain in him throughout your life? It's only by God's grace and Spirit that we may belong to Christ and share in his benefits. The Holy Spirit enables us to partake of all the spiritual blessings God has promised us. I preach to you God's word under the following theme: I believe in the Holy Spirit. We'll see how the Holy Spirit connects us to Christ, comforts us with Christ, and keeps us in Christ. The Holy Spirit is, together with the Father and the Son, true and eternal God. It's important that we understand this. When we say that we believe in the Holy Spirit, we say that we believe that He is truly God. It means we can rely on Him, that we can depend on Him. The Spirit is not just some kind of supernatural power. He is Almighty God. Together with the Father and the Son, He is to be worshipped and adored. When we consider the working of the Holy Spirit, we note that He does not work independently of the Father and of the Son. The Holy Spirit does not stand on His own. He does not work for His own benefit. Together with the Father and the Son, He's part of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit was sent forth by the Father and the Son. He works with the Father and the Son. There is intimate communion between the three persons of the Trinity. The Scriptures teach us of the close connection between Christ and the Holy Spirit. In various places, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. Christ promised the disciples He would send the Spirit in His place. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, He said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Jesus identifies Himself so closely with the Spirit that He says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Christ repeats this promise in the time after His resurrection, before He rose up into heaven. In Matthew 28, we read of how Jesus commissioned His apostles, commanding them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And He follows His command with a promise, saying, "And lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The connection between Christ and the Spirit is so close that Jesus says that He is with us when the Spirit dwells in us. When we confess, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," part of that confession is saying that the Holy Spirit is also given to me. It's a statement of faith, beloved. Anyone can say the words, but that does not make them true. Yet if we truly profess our faith in the Holy Spirit, it gives us great comfort. For we believe, we are assured of the fact that the Holy Spirit has come to live in our hearts. He's always with us. It's something that is truly remarkable. Let's stop and think for a moment about how God dwelt with His people in the Old Covenant. When the Lord delivered His people from Egypt, He gave them instructions about building a tabernacle. Why? Well, because the Lord wanted to dwell among His people, to be one with them, to dwell among them. The tabernacle and later the temple had to be built according to God's precise commands. Access to God in the most holy place was restricted. And yet a great miracle occurred. God came to live in the midst of weak and sinful people. We read this afternoon about how Solomon brought the Ark of the Lord and the Tent of Meeting into the newly built temple. They were brought into the most holy place. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. God came to dwell among His people. It was a truly majestic event which occurred before all Israel. They saw the glory of the Lord fill the temple. They were assured of God's presence among them. Something similar happened to us, beloved. God has come to dwell in our hearts. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. The point is that just as God dwelt in the tabernacle and temple in the Old Covenant, now He dwells in us. We have become the house of God. God's people Israel were filled with awe and reverence when the glory of the Lord appeared and God came to live with them. Well, the same applies to us. We need to be awestruck that Almighty God has come to us, that He lives in us, that He's always with us. The reason why the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in our hearts is a special one. He came to make us share in Christ and all His benefits. The Spirit serves as the link between Christ and us. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are connected to our Savior. The Spirit takes the mighty redemptive works of Christ and He applies them to us. He is the conduit through which God's grace in Christ is passed on to us. So how does the Holy Spirit do this? How does He connect us with Christ our Savior? The Apostle John speaks about this in John 16. In John 16, verse 8, Jesus told the disciples that the Spirit would convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Jesus speaks here about the mighty work of the Spirit, not just in the church, but also in the world. The Holy Spirit functioned in a very specific way to connect us to Christ. The key to understanding how the Spirit works is to understand what Jesus meant when He said that the Spirit convicts the world of guilt in regard to sin. That word convicts means to prove guilty, in a sense that a person's wrongdoing is exposed, is made clear to all. The Spirit accomplishes this through the preaching of the gospel. Just think of Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. When the people heard the gospel, many were cut to the heart. They asked what they should do. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Within the children of God, the Holy Spirit awakens a consciousness of guilt, which leads to true repentance. He causes us to feel truly sorry for our sins, to confess them in humility before the throne of God. Yet that's not the only thing He convicts us of. In John 16:8, Jesus said that the Spirit will also convict us of righteousness. When Jesus spoke these words, the Jews were about to crucify Him. Jesus was treated as an evildoer. The Jews said He must die. He was condemned as an unrighteous man. Yet the good news of salvation brought by the apostles and worked in people's hearts by the Spirit convicted them of something different. By raising Jesus from the dead, the Father placed His stamp of approval on the life and the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. The very one whom the world had branded as unrighteous would be received into heaven as the righteous one. Thus, the Spirit not only made clear to us our sins and our misery, He also testifies in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The question that comes to us, beloved, is whether or not we give the Spirit opportunity to work in our lives. In John 16, Jesus makes it clear that the Spirit will guide us into all truth by speaking Christ's word to us. Jesus says that the Spirit will not speak on His own. He will only speak what He hears. The Spirit works faith through the gospel. He guides us in the way of truth through the Word of God. God's Word is the means by which the Spirit brings us to faith and keeps us connected with Christ our Savior. Beloved, do you give the Spirit opportunity to work in your heart and your life? Is the Bible an open book in your home which gets read regularly? Do you leave home in the morning without starting your day with God, reading His Word and praying to Him? If you don't, you cannot expect much from that day, for you have not asked for God's blessings over you. And what's your practice around the dinner table, beloved? Do you actually open your Bible and read from it? Do you take time to discuss and meditate on what God's Word means for your life? In many of our homes, we are failing in our devotion to God. We have time for everything else, but we do not make time for a personal relationship with the Lord. How do you expect to know God if you don't spend time in His Word? How will you or your children learn to know how to live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him if you don't give the Spirit opportunity to guide and direct your life with His Word? Beloved, how do you come to church on Sunday? And how do you follow the video stream? Do you come with eager hearts, ready to hear what the Spirit says to the church? Or do you come with a negative spirit, looking to find fault and to criticize? And what happens when the preaching addresses areas of your life where there are weaknesses and shortcomings? How does your heart respond when your toes get stepped on because your sin is exposed? Do you tune out because it's just the pastor having a go at you? Or do you realize that the Spirit is convicting you of your sins and is calling you to repentance? The reason we need to be convicted of our sins is that we may look to Christ as our Redeemer. Sin is the dividing wall that keeps us separated from true communion with our Savior. And the Spirit's goal is to connect us with Christ, to allow us to share in His righteousness, to grant us the assurance that in Christ our sins are paid for. It's through the work of the Spirit in us that we find comfort and peace and joy. All the benefits of Christ are ours through the mighty working of the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is take hold of them in faith. We've seen that the Spirit connects us to Christ. In our second point, we'll see that the Spirit comforts us with Christ. In our reading from John's Gospel, we read a number of times that the Lord Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to His disciples. It's interesting to see what the Lord Jesus calls the Holy Spirit. In John 15:26 and 16 verse 7, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Helper. It can also be translated the Counselor. The Greek word Jesus used is the word paraclete. It's a really rich word, a word that conveys a whole lot of meaning. A paraclete is one who is called to help, to be an advocate, a defender, an intercessor. A paraclete is one who gives protection and security. Often this word is translated as counselor or even as comforter. Striking to note that in John 14:16, Jesus speaks about giving another helper. In 1 John 2, verse 1, Jesus Himself is called a paraclete. He is our advocate, our intercessor before the Father. When we pray to God for forgiveness for our sins, Christ will plead our case before God's throne in heaven. He mediates on our behalf. Yet we do not just have a helper in heaven. On the day of Pentecost, Christ fulfilled His promise to give His disciples another helper. The Holy Spirit has come to this earth to serve as our paraclete, as our comforter. He dwells in us to help us live our lives in the service of God. Now comes the big question. How did the Holy Spirit serve as our paraclete? How does He counsel us? He does so by directing us to Jesus Christ and the life there is in Him. Jesus says in John 16, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Jesus says in verse 14 that He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. So we see that the Holy Spirit has come to make us share in Christ and all His benefits. The Spirit helps us by being a wise counselor. He works the Word of God in our hearts so it becomes part of us. He makes us want to live for Jesus Christ. He gives direction in the very problems that face us in our lives. Are you sometimes faced with questions about how to go forward in a particular situation? Well, God's Word provides answers. It gives direction in the most confusing circumstances. What we need to do is to study it diligently, praying for direction and insight from the Holy Spirit. He will help us, for he's our paraclete, the promised counselor whom Jesus has sent to dwell in our hearts. There's a further reason why the Lord Jesus called the Holy Spirit a paraclete. It's because the Spirit gives us the assurance that we are children of God, that we will inherit eternal life. Apostle Paul speaks about this in Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The result is that as God's children, we may share in the inheritance that he has in store for us." And so the Holy Spirit assures us, he comforts us with the glad tidings. We belong to Christ. We belong to him, both in life and in death. The Holy Spirit assures us of eternal life. God has this glorious inheritance in store for us. After this life, we will be glorified. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, our mortal bodies will be raised up and renewed and given new life. He will cause us to dwell with God forevermore. And so we see that the work which the Holy Spirit begins in our lives today, he will complete on the day when the Lord Jesus finally comes. The Holy Spirit will continue to work in us so that our life with God is perfected, that it will never come to an end. We deal with this in our final point, and it will see that the Spirit keeps us in Christ. It's wonderful to know how the Holy Spirit connects us to Christ and comforts us with him. But all of that would be in vain if the Spirit were to depart from us. Without the Spirit, we could not stand. If it were not for the Spirit's continued work in our hearts and lives, we would quickly fall from grace. But Christ has promised that the Spirit will remain with us forever. Part of believing in the Holy Spirit is knowing he will remain with me forever. In life, we can face all kinds of trials and disappointments. There's times when we even lose hope. Satan will do whatever he can to take our eyes away from the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of sadness we face in life, because of sins we've fallen into, there's times when Christians can begin to doubt their very salvation. That's why we are to take the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's only by trusting God that we can stand firm in our spiritual battle. Above all else, we need to hold fast the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit equips us to fight against Satan's attacks by arming us with God's Word. In the Old Covenant, the prophet Hosea cried out, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." Well, that same danger confronts us today. One of the main ways in which the Lord Jesus withstood Satan's temptations was by quoting the scriptures back at him. Beloved, it's through a knowledge of God's promises, through an understanding of his grace in Christ, that we can stand firm in our spiritual battle. We need to know certain truths to withstand the attacks of the evil one. In Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul teaches us, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Philippians 4, 13 states, "I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me." James 4, verse 7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Yes, beloved, we need to pray and work using the means God has given us. It's how the Holy Spirit helps us to stand firm in our spiritual battle. Christ's preserving care over us is clearly taught in the scriptures. In John 6, verses 39 and 40, Jesus said, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." In John 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus confirms this. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." It's through the Holy Spirit that Christ fulfills his promise that he will not let go of those who belong to him. Beloved, how rich we are to have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. What a blessing it is to be temples of the living God. For through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in us, we are allowed to share in communion with Christ and the Father. Through the Holy Spirit, we share in a multitude of spiritual gifts. He applies the salvation work of Christ to our lives. He makes us share in the forgiveness of sins. He transforms our lives that we may share in the comfort, joy, and peace that Christ has earned for us. The Spirit guides us on the pathway of eternal life. He gives us all we need to live with God, now and eternally. Let us praise the Holy Spirit for his wondrous works in our hearts and lives. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Spirit into this world as the Lord and as the giver of life. In and of ourselves, we have nothing to offer you. And yet before the foundation of this world, you chose your children to eternal life. In time, you work by your word and spirit to bring salvation and life to all who belong to you. Father, we pray that you will break down all resistance to your Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. We know the Holy Spirit is Almighty God. He's able to soften hard hearts and open closed hearts. Grant that the Spirit may take the reins of our lives in his hands, that he may guide and direct our lives also in times when we face sin or sorrow or trouble in our lives. Work mightily in the heart of each one of us, that we may share in the benefits of Christ our Savior. Father, we pray that not one of us may be missing on the final day, but that we all may partake in the eternal joy that you have in store for all your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.